I'm going to start by reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And now if you could turn over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. This will be our text for a brief study this evening. Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word this evening, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts, that we would be a people desiring to hear your word and to apply it. And Father, we thank you for it, and help us not to take this wonderful thing of the wonderful words of life for granted. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So the focus is beginning at verse 14 tonight. And so we have in this text the beginning of the preaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came first to announce the immediacy of the Messiah's coming. His message was a call for people to prepare themselves for this great event. While John was preaching, Christ came and submitted himself to John's baptism. In return, the Father in heaven authenticated his sonship by sending the Holy Spirit out of the heavens to him. And following this, the Spirit led him to the wilderness for a 40-day-long period of fasting and temptation. The place chosen for his first sermon was Galilee, a small town about 70 miles north of Jerusalem. In his first sermon, we have given to us the essence of the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, in order for us to understand this statement, which is the heart of the truth, we need to ask and then answer a few questions. So firstly, we're going to ask, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? And secondly, what is the gospel? We hear that word a lot. What is the gospel? Thirdly, what is faith or belief? What is faith or belief? And fourthly, what is repentance? What is repentance? So if we understand these elements of Christ's message, we then have the knowledge necessary to receive Christ as Lord and find eternal rest for our souls. So what then is the kingdom of God? The Jews of that day believed that the Messiah would come and establish a political kingdom in Jerusalem. They believed that the nation state of Israel would become once again a powerful force. And they were wrong. What does Jesus Christ himself say about the kingdom of God? In our text, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. It is near because its time has come. The kingdom of God is not identified as a nation on earth as we think of a nation. When Jesus Christ said the kingdom of God is near or at hand, he was referring to himself and the message of the gospel. Christ is the head of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. The true inhabitants of the kingdom of God are those people who have found salvation in Jesus Christ, who is the King. And the kingdom of God is the true church. Citizens of the kingdom of God are people who have union with Christ. And it does not matter where on earth they live. It does not matter what language they speak. It does not matter what their color, their skin may happen to be. The kingdom of God is near to us today, wherever God's people have gathered to worship in truth and spirit. And wherever God's word is being preached, there you will find the kingdom of God. So if you are seeking the kingdom of God, seek the King, who is Jesus Christ. So now that we know what the kingdom of God is, let us move on to consider what is meant by the term gospel. Our text says that Jesus came preaching the gospel. And in that preaching, he said that we should believe the gospel. Therefore, we must know what the gospel is. And another phrase that we could use in place of the word gospel, and we all know this, is good news. The gospel is good news. And if it is good, then it's worth knowing more. The Bible contains the definition of the word gospel or the phrase good news. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ has died for our sins according to the scriptures. We find that in 1 Corinthians. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel is the revealing of the grace of God to fallen man through the mediator, Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news that fallen, sinful man has a remedy available for the sin that is within him, namely the salvation offered through Jesus Christ alone. The scripture from beginning to end details the gospel. And it is in the scripture alone that we can learn of the gospel. And the gospel of God is very powerful. And so what does it mean to believe the gospel? Again, in our text, Christ preaches that men must believe the gospel. And the belief Christ is speaking of here is also called faith. And it's not just an intellectual assent to a proven fact. Many people profess to believe in God, but their lives show no indication that this belief influences the way they live, what they do, what they say, or what they think. If we believe that wearing a seatbelt in a car would save us from an injury in an accident, wouldn't we be inclined to change our behavior and always wear our seatbelt? The Apostle James described the faith of demons in this epistle. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So there is a faith or a belief in God that does not save. It is the kind of faith that professes belief in the God of the Bible, but produces no action. The Bible says that faith is the believing of things not seen. It is an assurance that something is true, even though we did not see this something happen. It is by faith alone that we can believe that God spoke the creation into its existence by his word, because we didn't see it happen. It is by faith alone that we can believe that God spoke, we can't prove it in the earthly sense, yet it is just as real to us as if we were present when it happened. It is this kind of depth of belief that Christ is speaking of when he tells us to believe the gospel. To believe that Christ came down to earth and lived as a man in perfect obedience to the law of God, that he died on the cross as a victim of unrighteous men in order to receive the punishment due to sinners. The righteous Son of God dying for unrighteous men. And it takes great faith to believe the gospel. And this great faith will produce a change in the person who possesses it. What kind of action, what kind of change is also addressed by Christ in our text. Christ also commands his hearers to repent. And repentance is the product of true saving faith. It is the action accompanying true saving faith. It is the element of true Christianity that is absent in false belief. One has said it is the tear in the eye of faith. What does it mean to repent? To repent is to turn in a different direction. In the Bible, and more particularly in our text, the term repent means to turn from sin and turn to Christ in obedience. To repent biblically means to gain a true sense of your sin and to turn from it to God. It becomes your purpose in life to live in obedience to God's law. Many today would say, just confess you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you, and now you are saved. And while this contains truth, it is only part of the truth. And it is a good thing if you've come to some sense of your need for a Savior. But you must act upon this need. You must turn from doing your own will and follow Christ, obeying the Scriptures, prayerfully following Christ, continually repenting of known sin, and then you will know that you have been converted. You have been born from above. Your life will be lived in a manner that brings you into conformity with the Word of God. Biblical commandments will take on new meaning. Your desire will be to frame everything around you and in you in accordance with the Scriptures. You will have a desire to worship Christ in the public assembly. You will have the desire to pray to Christ. You will struggle against the sin in your life, knowing that this struggle will never end until you go to be with the Lord. So it all boils down to this. The Lord Jesus Christ has commanded men everywhere to respond to the preaching of the gospel of God by repenting from our sin and turning in faith to our Redeemer Christ for salvation. It is not an option. It is a gospel command to be obeyed by all. Christ died to save sinners, and sinners who respond in repentance and faith will be received into the kingdom of God. Those sinners who do not respond will face the judgment of Christ for their sins in eternity. The gospel is truly good news for those who repent and believe. But for those who don't, the Scripture declares that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's what I have for us this evening. When somebody asks you what the gospel is, what is the gospel? Be prepared with an answer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the directness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that indeed the gospel is very powerful. It is simple, but it is forceful. And Father, it requires of us a response. Father, we acknowledge that our works will never save us. It is only your works that save us. But help us to lean into Christ and to seek to follow him. Father, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.